Blog Talk Radio.
Possibly have a Larry Dorman on
yeah, I hope
our
our regular union guy that we have on from Council 4 in Hartford asked me, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees.
Which Lila is a member.
And a proud member, too.
Yes, she is.
They've done a lot for me.
Yeah, they sure have. And they've been a lot for a lot of people. And Lila was president of our local.
For quite a while.
For many years. So I'm going to go to two. I love this one here, but it may be a little too much. We hear a lot about I don't know if the audio on this is, you need visual. I don't think so. But it just amazed me when I saw this thing. It's called the people who brought you the taser, the head cam, that turns every policeman into a RoboCop. And they got these, you know, like the Google eyeglasses they got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they got these RoboCop eyeglasses with this, you know, that can they can do everything, direct, you know, everything. You know what I mean? It's
huh.
Like, yeah. And line up, it's amazing. It's a couple of minutes. I just thought we might play it. So,
so let's hear about the head cam.
Yeah, they got cameras and they got.
Video system that will revolutionize transparency between law enforcement agencies and their communities while protecting officers from false claims.
As an original user of the Axon, I know firsthand what it means to have an on-officer camera system. There's no doubt that Axon saved my agency possible litigation, but it also possibly saved my career.
Axon Flex redefines versatility, durability, and simplicity. It easily lends itself to each officer's specific needs. The officer can select the mounting option that works best for him.
Hundreds of law enforcement officers helped us to design Axon Flex. They told us it had to be lightweight, it had to be rugged, and it had to be so easy to use and so comfortable they would forget they're even wearing it. We asked ourselves, who's best in the world at creating gear that officers wear on their heads? And the answer was clearly Oakley.
You've got two authentic, high-performance American companies working to solve problems for our professionals in the law enforcement military space. And from there, we've created a product that we're both proud of.
A message that we've heard loud and clear is the ability for the camera to see what the officer sees in these low-light conditions. And with the Axon Flex, we've been able to achieve this.
We can even wirelessly stream video to any Apple or Android mobile device.
With Axon Flex, it's simple. You record in the field, you dock the unit, which automatically uploads, and then you view and share your files on evidence.com.
One of the primary considerations when building evidence.com was, how do we secure such sensitive data? And to do that, we partnered with the leading providers of government cloud technology that exists today.
So why Taser over other solutions in the marketplace today? To us, it's really simple. With Flex, the officer can select the mounting option that works best for him. The agency can manage all of its digital evidence in one place. And through it all, Taser will be there every step of the way.
At Taser, we're passionate about protection. Whether it's protecting officers from physical harm with a Taser ECD, or protecting that officer and the agency from false claims about what really happened. You can better protect your officers today. Taser and Axon Flex.
So what it is a camera.
It's more than a camera. Yeah, it's a set of
eyeglasses. It's a camera that's attached to the uniform to their sunglasses or wherever.
They see everything that they see.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
Everything that they see.
It records
everything. Yeah. It's bizarre. Anyway, I thought it was bizarre. Did you?
No, I can see why they have it.
You want to want to get metaphysical tonight?
Then why not?
Says that.
Oh, I read this. I thought that was interesting.
Did you like this one?
It's quite long, though.
Oh, it's too long for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Goes on. It's basically what it says is that there's balance in nature, and when you look to the universe is within you. You have that's what nature is. Nature is a repetition of everything that you see around you, and they're all atoms and molecules going in a circular pattern around something. And that's, in fact, what all of life is. But it says it in
3 million words or
mm-hmm.
less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This one. I like. Did you like this article? Did you read this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to. I was hoping to go to Zero TV one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's where you don't have TV.
That's right.
You know, and you everything is online. You can see all kinds of stuff. Well, it turns out that 5 million people have already gone off.
Yeah, I read that
article. Well, it's not that long, I guess.
But
I think it's interesting to know. But it's interesting to note that.
But people do it for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah.
Some people do it for financial reasons. Other people don't like to be told what to do.
Exactly. But this is something that we wanted to do for. We've been talking about it for years, but we just figured, you know. But the technology wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was way too expensive. Remember the smart TVs were.
You have to want to sit at your computer and get Netflix, and I don't want to sit at my computer. I want to transfer to the TV.
No, now they
mm-hmm.
have that. They have that now.
That's correct.
That smart TV is what mm-hmm. Is what you need. So, anyway, AP Business writers they say that some people have had it with TV. They've had enough of the 100-plus channel universe. They don't like timing their lives around network show schedules. They're tired of 100-plus monthly bills.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And a growing number of them. I was talking to somebody today who's paying $180 a month for one of the DirecTV packages.
Oh, my.
It's got all the sporting stuff and everything. Yeah, you're paying more than you were. Right. That's a lot of money. A growing number of them. I still don't understand why I need 300 channels. You know? There's nothing.
Well, because
they
don't allow you to purchase things separately.
No, I know.
That's why you get so many channels. I mean, I don't want all that stuff.
I mean, we need 300 channels.
I don't even though I only have basic TV, and stuff I don't want that comes in. There'd be other stuff that I'd rather purchase singly, but they've tied it all up and forced you to have some of these ridiculous stations that you don't want.
I mean, I got 3 Telemundo stations, for crying out loud, you know, and 3 QVC stations or something. Home shopping networks and a QVC and another.
But anyway, growing number of people have stopped paying for cable and satellite TV service and don't even use an antenna to get free signals over the air. These people are watching shows and movies on the internet, sometimes via cell phone connections. Last month, the Nielsen Company started labeling people in this group zero TV households because they fall outside the traditional definition of a TV home. There were 5 million of these residences in the U.S., up from 2 million in 2007. Winning back the zero TV crowd will be one of the many issues broadcasters discuss at their national meeting called the NAB Show, taking place this week in Las Vegas. While the show creators and networks make money from this group's viewing habits through deals with online video providers, and from advertising on their own websites and apps, broadcasters only get paid when they relay such programming in traditional ways. And unless the broadcasters can adapt to modern platforms, their revenue from zero TV viewers will be zero.
Getting broadcast programming on all the gizmos and gadgets like tablets, the back seats of cars, and laptops is hugely important, says Dennis Wharton, a spokesman for the National Association of Broadcasters. Although Wharton says more than 130 TV stations in the U.S. are broadcasting live TV signals to mobile devices, few people have the tools to receive them, you see. And most cell phones require an add-on device known as a dongle. But these gadgets are just starting to be sold. A dongle? Have you heard that name before?
I don't think so.
No, me either. And among the elusive groups of consumers is Jeremy Carson Young, a graphic designer who is done with traditional TV. Young has a working antenna sitting unplugged on his back porch in Roanoke, Virginia, and he refuses to put it on the roof. He says, I don't think we'd use it enough to justify having a big eyesore on the house, a 30-year-old says. Online video subscriptions from Netflix and Amazon.com, which cost less than $15 a month combined, have given him and his partner plenty to watch, and they take in back episodes of AMC's The Walking Dead and the CW's Supernatural, and they don't need more, he says. He doesn't mind waiting as long as a year for the current season's episode to appear on streaming services. And even if his friends accidentally blurred out spoilers in the meantime with regular television, he might have missed the latest developments anyway. Lila and I used to do that with, they used to get all the, all the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get from
the library.
Yeah, from the library actually here and where we are, and they'd have them, and they'd have like a whole series, a whole 5-10 years of a series, like Weeds or The Soprano or the newer ones, you know, like Curb Your Enthusiasm or what were some of the other ones. Oh, I remember they're all gone now. Episode of the Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And the other one was, what did we see? What was that other one? Entourage. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they still have Entourage.
Well, Mad Men is still on, but
yeah.
I don't know about Entourage.
But, you know, it used to, it was easier that way, and then you don't have to pay $200 a month to get your movies, you know. But then Netflix is a good deal. But anyway, online video subscriptions for Netflix and Amazon are only $15 a month combined.
That's pretty good.
I think so. I think Netflix is $8. And by the time it gets to me to watch, I've kind of forgotten about that, he says. From the first time TV ratings giant Nielsen took a close look at this category of viewers in its quarterly video report released in March, it plans to measure their viewing of new TV shows starting this fall, with an eye toward incorporating the results in the formula used to calculate the ad rates. So there's like, you know, there's what, 5 million people that are being counted. 24-hour news channels make, Cynthia Phelps, 43-year-old maker of mental
health
apps in San Diego.
No, in San Antonio, Texas, says there's nothing that will bring her back to traditional TV. She's watched TV in the past, of course, but for most of the last 10 years, she's done with it. She finds a lot of programs online to watch on her laptop for free, like the TED Talks educational series, and every few months she gets together with friends to watch older TV shows on DVDs, usually something totally geeky like NBC's Chuck. The 24-hour news channels make her anxious or depressed, and buzz about the latest hot TV shows like Mad Men doesn't make her feel like she's missing out. She didn't know who the Kardashian family was until she looked them up a few years ago. I feel absolutely no social pressure to keep up with the Joneses in that respect, she says.
For Phelps, it's less about saving money than choice. And she says she'd rather spend her time productively and not get sucked into shows she'll regret later. You know, I don't want someone else dictating the media I get every day. You know, he says, I want to be in charge of it. When I have a TV, I'm less in control of that. You know, she's right, and you know what pissed me off recently is that I haven't been able to follow Revenge, you know?
Well, because they changed time.
Well, they changed times, they changed days, they changed everything, and then after all that, they take a 6-week vacation or something, you know what I mean? And nobody, and then they go.
You forget
on,
all about it.
Like, damn, you know. And then they come back and it's not well announced, and you don't know what the hell happened. And so it's like, to me, as good as it was when it started, the first year or so that it was, the first year was great. And now it's like gone to hell. And it was, and they had a scheduling problem and a mess problem. And I hate it when shows do that.
The TV industry has a host of buzzwords to describe these non-traditionalist viewers. They are cord cutters who stop paying for TV completely and make do with online video and sometimes an antenna. They are cord shavers who reduce the number of channels they subscribe to or the number of rooms pay TV is in to save money. Then there are the cord nevers, young people who move out on their own and never set up a landline phone connection or a TV subscription. They usually make do with a broadband internet connection, a computer, a cell phone, and possibly a TV set that is not hooked up to the tradition, up the traditional way. That's the label given to the group by Richard Snyder, the president and founder of the online retailer Antennas Direct. The site is doing a great business selling antennas capable of accepting free digital signals since the nation's transition to digital over the broadcast in 2009. And is on pace to sell nearly 600,000 units this year, up from a few dozen when it started in 2003. While the cord neverers are a target market for him, the category is also troubling. More people are raised with the power of the internet in their pocket and don't know or care that you can pull TV signals from the air
for free. And there's more aware of Netflix than they are aware than they're aware over the air is even available. Tell you the truth, I didn't even know it. I didn't think it was available on the internet. Okay.
I didn't either. We'll have to go to that.
And this brings us to truck driver James Wells, a 31-year-old, satisfies his video fix with an iPhone. He often sleeps in his truck and has no apartment. To be sure, he's an extreme case who doesn't fit into Nelson's definition of a household in the first place, but he's watching Netflix enough to keep up with shows like Weeds, 30 Rock, Arrested Development, Breaking Bad, and Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Sons of Anarchy. So Netflix, you get all of these, you get all of the episodes of HBO and everything.
He's not opposed to TV per se and misses some ESPN sports programs like the X Games, but he's so divorced from the traditional TV ecosystem it could be hard to go back. It's become easier for him to navigate his smartphone than to figure out how to use the TV setup box and the button-laden remote control. I'm pretty tech-savvy, but the TV industry with the cable and the television and the boxes, you don't know how to use their equipment, he says. I try to go over to my grandma's place and teach her how to do it, and I can't even figure it out myself. I hear him.
Yeah.
So what is the one that you go onto the internet there? I want to go back and find out.
What do you mean?
Let's see. Well, you have to have an app. And...
I'm not really sure.
An app for your cell phone?
Yeah.
And some people get an antenna.
Yeah. So that's basically it. So let's see where we are. I'll tell you.
George Carlin on the death penalty.
You want to... I haven't heard the whole thing. You want me to play it?
Yeah, he
gets a little wild.
The guy's so relevant, though.
Yeah, he's very, but he's pretty wild.
Let's see what he has to say.
The one I like is kill all the bankers. That's the death penalty.
The same way we made up the death penalty, we made them both up. up, sanctity of life and the death penalty. Aren't we versatile? And you know, in this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these fucking bankers. White, middle-class, Republican bankers. I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about fucking crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixion, a form of capital punishment that Christians and Jews of America can really appreciate. And I'd go a little further. I'd crucify people upside down. Like St. Peter, feet up, head down, and naked. I'd have naked upside down crucifixions on TV once a week at halftime of the Monday night football game. The Monday night crucifixions. You'd have people tuning in don't even care about football. Wouldn't you like to hear Dan Dierdorf explain why the nails have to go in at a certain angle? And I'll guarantee you one thing. You start executing, you start nailing one white banker per week to a big wooden cross on national TV, you're going to see that drug traffic begin to slow down pretty fucking quick. Pretty fucking quick. You won't even be able to buy drugs in schools and prisons anymore. Now, I don't care about capital punishment one way or another, because I know it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything except maybe satisfy a kind of biblical need for revenge. You know, if you read the Bible, you see that it's full of retribution and revenge. So really, capital punishment is kind of a religious ritual. It's a purification rite. It's a modern sacrament. And as long as that's true, I say, let's liven it up a little. I honestly believe if you make the death penalty a little more entertaining and learn to market it correctly, you just might be able to raise enough money to balance the stupid fucking budget. And don't forget, the polls show the American people want capital punishment and they want a balanced budget. And I think even in a fake democracy, people ought to get what they want once in a while just to feed this illusion that they're really in charge. Let's use capital punishment the same way we use sports and television in this country to distract people and take their minds off how bad they're being fucked by the upper 1%. Now, unfortunately, Monday Night Football doesn't last long enough. What we really need is year-round capital punishment on TV every night with sponsors. Gotta have sponsors. I'm sure as long as we're killing people, Marlboro Cigarettes and Dow Chemical will be proud to participate. Balance this stupid fucking budget. And let me say this to you, my interesting Judeo-Christian friend. Not only do I recommend crucifixions, I'd be in favor of bringing back beheadings. Beheadings on TV, slow motion, instant replay. And maybe you could let the heads roll down a little hill and fall into one of five numbered holes. Let the people at home gamble on which hole the head is going to go. And you do it in a stadium so the mob can gamble on it too. Raise a little more money. And if you want to expand the violence a little longer to sell a few more commercials, instead of using an axe, you do the beheadings with a handsaw. Hey, don't bail out on me now, goddammit. Ready on our hands. All we're talking about is a matter of degree. You want something a little more delicate? We'll do the beheadings with an olive fork. That would be nice, and it would take a good goddamn long time. There's a lot of good things we could be doing. When's the last time we burned someone at the stake? It's been too long. Here's another form of capital punishment. Comes out of a nice, rich religious tradition. Burning people at the stake. Sponsor, Bridgeford Charcoal. and you put it on TV on Sunday mornings. The Sunday morning evangelicals send us an offering, praise Jesus, human bonfire. You don't think that would get big ratings in this sick fucking country? Shit, you'd have people skipping church to watch this stuff. And you take the money they send in the offerings and you use it to balance the budget. What about boiling people in oil? Boy, those were the days, weren't they? You get the oil going real good, you know, a nice high rolling boil, and then slowly at the end of a rope, you lower the perpetrator head first into the boiling oil. Huh? You talk about fun shit. And just to encourage citizen participation, you let the mob in the stadium control the speed of the rope. Good, clean, wholesome family entertainment. The kids will love it. The kids will love it. And at the same time they're enjoying themselves, we're teaching them a nice Christian moral lesson. Boiling people in oil. Sponsor, Crisco. And maybe instead of boiling all these guys, every now and then you can French fry a couple of them, you know? French fried felons. Dip a guy in egg batter just for a goof, you know? Kind of a tempura thing, huh? Jeffrey Dahmer never thought of this yet, did he? Jeffrey Dahmer, eat your heart out. This is an interesting thought. You know, all right, enough nostalgia. What about some modern forms of capital punishment? How about we throw a guy off the World Trade Center and whoever he lands on wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse? Okay, something a little more sophisticated. You dip a guy in brown gravy and lock him in a small room with a Wolverine who's high on angel dust. This one guy's not going to be fucking with too many kids at the bus stop for a while. Here's something really nice you could do. You shoot a guy out of a high-speed catapult right into a brick wall. Trouble is, it would be over too quick. No good for TV, you know. You'd have to do a whole bunch of guys right in a row. Rapid fire capital punishment. 15 catapults. While you're shooting off one, you're loading up the others. Of course, every now and then, you would have to stop to clean off the wall. Cleanliness, right next to godliness. All right, high tech. I sense some of you are waiting for high tech. I got it. You take a small tactical nuclear weapon and stick it up a guy's ass. A thermonuclear suppository. Preparation H-bomb. You talk about fallout, huh? Or you take the bomb and you stick it just inside that little hole on the end of a guy's dick. Yeah, a bomb in a dick. When it goes off, the guy wouldn't know whether he was coming or going.
Get out of here. I got you. Hey.
I don't know. When did he die?
Oh, he died 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I think he died before...
That was George Carlin, folks.
Yeah, I think he died before 9/11.
Really?
2000, somewhere around. I think, I may be wrong, but...
Well, his stuff is still relevant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I posted that one on my own, that video on my website a couple of months back.
Oh.
And, anyway, here's something that I thought was kind of interesting. Reigning trickle-down taxation.
Oh, right? This is amazing. Maryland something? Residents are facing rain tax.
Yeah.
I think it must be acid rain is killing the...
Yeah, but every time that rains, they're going to be taxed.
That peninsula there. Killing all of flora. It must be acid rain. That's I haven't read the article.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kind of looked at it.
Unfortunately.
I mean, how would you pay a rain? Every time it rains, you pay a tax. I'm not sure how they're going to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, this thing is taking too long to come up. But
weird.
No. In 1965, disgusted by what he viewed as confiscatory taxation by the British authorities, a super tax instituted by the Labour government was taking 95% of top earners' income, where George Harrison wrote a bitter song from the perspective of a maniacal tax collector, and it says, if you drive, remember the taxman?
Yes.
The song, if you drive your car, I'll tax the street if you...
What?
Thank God.
Why that did that?
I don't either. I'm sorry, folks. My computer screen just kind of jumped on me, and
don't keep clicking. Just wait. I'm
trying to get it.
No, you just you create a to freeze. Okay. Car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. Even Harrison's tax man never conceived of a levy on the weather, something currently being instituted in Maryland. Probably because of the problems with the Chesapeake.
Yeah, I'm sure, but I want to see what...
Harrison never conceived of a levee on
with
the
weather. With a Crizal lens, neither dust nor dirt, nor smudge, nor scratch, nor glare of night can keep you from the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses live life in the clear.
No way to shut this stupid thing off.
Okay.
Good morning, Rush. I'm Chris Elated. Taxes are nothing new. Income tax, sales tax, property tax, but a rain tax? Fox and Friends reports Maryland is now starting to tax Mother Nature.
It's not cheap, though. It's about $105. The money will be used to help.
Some background. The Chesapeake Bay faces a serious pollution problem. The Environmental Protection Agency decreed in 2010 that Maryland had to stop so much stormwater runoff from draining into the bay, a project that would cost $14.8 billion. To pay for that, authorities decided to tax impervious services, in the words of the Gazette, anything that prevents rainwater from seeping into the earth, roofs, driveways, patios, sidewalks, thereby causing storm water runoff. The solution is being called, with the combined goodwill these two concepts invoke, a rain tax. Faced with the EPA's orders, the state has required its 10 largest counties, Montgomery, Prince George, Howard, Anne Arundel, Carroll, Hartford, Charles, Frederick, Baltimore counties, and Baltimore City, to raise revenues. Raised taxes are to take effect in these areas by July 1st. Perhaps even more disturbing than the duty itself is the manner in which property owners' obligations will be calculated. According to the Gazette, satellite imagery and geographic information systems will be used to measure the area of roofs and driveways. Homeowners will bear the brunt of the rain tax of the $14.8 billion to be raised. $482 million each year until 2025. About three-quarters will come from residential property owners. The rate is expected to start at $100 a year for most homeowners, although that could rise. The only rain tax shelter, credits and exemptions for property owners who follow stormwater best practices. I don't know what those are. How the money will be spent is another murky situation. So if you live in Maryland, head over to the Gazette. They'll explain you more.
Right.
Get all the details.
But God, they'll find a way. Anything.
Well, we're going to have clean air tax, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's take a little break before we read this. I wanted to get back and I wanted to read this article about Obama planning retirement plan bail-ins.
That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening. But let's do that after a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. Yeah. A little music.
Here about the size of IRAs,
IRA balances.
Yeah, and those are independent retirement accounts. He says that Americans should not have IRAs beyond a certain amount. These limits would be imposed through changes in the tax codes to impose fairness in IRA matters. Here is my predictor. Obama will propose bank bail-ins that incorporate a progressive pension plan expropriation based on retirement plan size and income streams. It'll start with the biggest plans, many sitting in offshore accounts. These mega plans will suffer a large haircut, perhaps starting with 20% and progressing upwards toward 50%, depending on how one acquired the wealth or how well-connected one is. Of course, the well-connected always get to keep their money.
Sure.
Like the well-connected in Cyprus, those who know the haircut is coming can execute plans to remove their IRAs from government seizure. Those who are not forewarned to this theft will wake up to find their 500,000 IRA has been halved.
Yeah.
Over on ZH is a recent Durin Itty that helps me get the way the government will dig into our pensions.
Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, it must be a different... No, they're talking about it right here. It tells you. Obama will propose bank bail-ins that incorporate a progressive pension plan expropriation based on retirement plan size and stream income.
Where is
that? It'll start with the biggest plans, many sitting in offshore accounts. Perhaps starting with 20%, and I just said going upwards to 50%, depending on how well-connected one is. Remember those connected Cypriot bank account holders who got ample warning to remove their capital before the shutdown 3 weeks ago? Those who know the haircut is coming can execute plans to remove their IRAs from government seizure. Those who are not aware or forewarned to this theft will wake up to find their $500,000 IRA has been halved. In Cyprus, UK expats had plans in the high six figures, representing a lifetime of savings. They now have less by 40% or more, and their plans are still in lockdown mode. Once this plan has been fully implemented, the score settling against the less wealthy will commence. Those with plans ranging from $500,000 to $100,000 will see their IRA balances shave, perhaps less than, let me just move this down. Where is that?
40%.
But certainly in the range of 20%. These plans have the misfortune of being held with inextractable company retirement funds, or if personally managed, will find tax costs that could easily hit the 40% bracket plus penalties if the holders try to remove themselves from harm's way. A 20% haircut would seem small by comparison. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. The escape clause is either tax the tax hit and put the remaining balance out of the danger zone, or remain in place and see your IRA at ground zero of the government's plan to use your hard-earned savings to build an earworn of populist fairness for those less fortunate humanity. So I don't know what he's going to do with that exactly, what the plan is. It doesn't really say.
I don't know either. Yeah, but
let's
anyway.
See, what does this say here?
What?
Fed's higher our retirement fund tax to cut 16 million trillion plus. So it's to reduce the deficit.
Yeah. Well, what it is to pay back the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think we should just seize the Fed.
Throw them out.
Destroy them.
I wonder when that's going to happen.
It says, guest post, people will be shocked when they find, when they wake up to find brokerages have seized $6 trillion. $6 trillion. You were one of the first to read on the air about the $3 trillion that we found. That was Financial Times. Bloomberg sued to find out how much, sued the Fed to find out how much they actually sent out there. And it turns out, it was $6 trillion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want. Okay, people will be shocked when they wake up to see that the brokerages have seized $6 trillion in IRAs and 401ks. In his interview, Diamond tries to change the case that bigger is better. Of course it is. Jamie Diamond. If the banker plans to steal every cent of your funds, and this appears to be the case, they want it conveniently at their fingertips. They are lazy and stupid criminals, so having your money positioned in an easy-to-reach place suits their game plans. Consolidation in the financial industry simply means that the sheeple's money is now stacked in one place. The legal system is set up to facilitate this theft and provide high cover for these coming actions. As much as we shout to those with retirement plans to get out, cash out, remove themselves from the absolute certainty that the government will steal your retirement plans, aided and abetted by the banking system, otherwise the Fed could not access your funds. People are not getting the message. It must be very frustrating for all of us who know what is coming. That is the tried and true method of expropriation of retirement plans, successfully done in a dozen countries in the last decade. Okay, because people will be shocked when they wake up someday and see on the news that their brokerages have seized $6 trillion in IRAs and 401ks. And if you need to cash out now, do so. Because I hate to recommend that course since you will send at least 50% of your hard-earned money to the beast, the IRS. But that may be the only course. You can do an SDIRA.
Which I just completed.
Buy silver and gold. That might be the optional solution, and I urge that in the strongest manner. All right? The whole system is going to end badly, and 99% of the people are going to end up trashed. And Anne has been right for this for nearly a year. The system is collapsing incrementally, and nearly every day we see another outrage, another blatant theft of our money by the same people who tell us to trust them. They know better. They have a plan, and we must just follow their dictates. And fudge about it ain't going to happen. Following them is the road to perdition. So, you know, this is what's going on, folks. So here we go again. I don't know if this is true. I'm curious about this. Maybe I'll pass on that. I have to really do it.
John Lennon, Someday. What's that about?
Featuring Steven Tyler. That was John Lennon's song.
I love this. I think this is so true. And this is by George Carlson. Bipartisan usually means that a larger than usual deception is being carried out.
Yeah.
He was so right about that. I hate that when they say, oh, this is a bipartisan agreement. You know you're getting screwed.
Evacuation. It seems like they're getting ready to go, but I don't know. This is like drop the bomb. It looks like they're tensing up over there.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. What I wanted to read before was the last thing I wanted to go into.
Houston Freethinkers, that's interesting.
Yeah. There's the thing that...
Citizens, they try to arrest Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
Good for them. Oh, there's a WikiLeaks has released
find it. I can't find it.
Right there.
Have a great night.